Do your flower arrangements not seem to turn out the way you envisioned? Did your flowers fade faster than you thought they should? Or have you just wondered why it seems so hard for you? It's probably not you. It could be some of the common myths that surround floral arrangements. So in this episode, I'm exposing the truth so that you can have success making your own arrangements. Hello, and welcome to the 72nd episode of the Happy Hostess Podcast, where I take even the most frazzled hostess and transform them into a confident and happy hostess. I'm your host, Christy Lalonde, and today I'm clearing up some commonly held myths or misconceptions about flower arranging at home. But first, I want to give a big, huge thank you to one of my listeners, Cax Sanders, for leaving a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. She said, "Practical and helpful tips. I love listening to the Happy Hostess Podcast. Christy always has interesting guests that offer wonderful ideas and insights into all things entertaining." Well, bless you, Cax Sanders. It lights me up to receive 5-star reviews and to hear encouragement from you. I appreciate each and every review, and I'm so grateful for every single one. And now back to today's topic, and that is 5 myths about flower arranging at home. And I wanted to explore some of these myths because I've had to learn the hard way. And busting through these myths will make it that much more enjoyable for you and give you that much better results. Myth number 1, beginners should start with floral foam. I'd heard that floral foam was very beginner friendly, and you may have heard this too. But let me tell you, that has not been my experience. While floral foam can be very useful for certain arrangements and sometimes almost necessary depending on what you're doing, but it's actually more difficult for several reasons. First, it's messy and it's really not eco-friendly at all. And arrangements do not last as long in floral foam because they can't soak up as much water from the foam as they do just in water. And since they don't last as long, you can't make the arrangement as far in advance as if it's in water. But the biggest drawback for me with using floral foam is that you can't rearrange the flowers a lot once you've placed them in the foam. I don't know about you, but I don't always love where I first place a flower in an arrangement. And if you take it out and place it in another spot, if you do that too much in floral foam, the foam will start to break apart. So if you like to experiment and move your flowers around a bit before the finished results, floral foam is not a good choice. And we've probably all seen people tape a grid on a vase and use that to support the flowers. But that's not my favorite either, because it has the same problem that if you place a flower in a spot that you don't like it and you need to take it out too many times, the tape starts to deteriorate or rip up. And so that no longer works. For me, I found that floral chicken wire works wonders. I resisted using this for a very long time because I thought the wires were going to scratch me when I tried to use it. And that does not happen at all. It's easy to snip with clippers, and the floral chicken wire is coated in green plastic coating type thing. So that was something I didn't need to worry about. I also like that the chicken wire can be reused over and over again. It really lasts well, and it just needs to be washed thoroughly before you use it again. It did have a little bit of a learning curve on tricks how to use it easily, but I definitely find it far easier to use than floral foam. And love that the flowers are submerged in water and that you can change the water frequently. Which brings me to my next myth, number 2. And that is, flower food will keep your flowers alive a long time. While it's true that flower food can help boost the life of your flowers, but there are a lot of other factors that are just as or more important to keeping those flowers fresh for a long time. And that's how you process the flowers when you get them home to make sure they receive proper hydration, cutting off the stems a couple of inches and removing any unnecessary leaves or foliage, especially foliage that will be submerged under the water. That foliage that's beneath the waterline will rot and create lots of bacteria, and that's what really kills flowers quickly. If you want to really extend the life of your flowers, trim the stems just a bit every day and change out the water for fresh water every day. Also, a little research on the type of flowers that you're using can go a long way in extending the life of your flowers. The alum powder can extend a hydrangea's shelf life for days. And every flower is a little different, so it never hurts just to do a quick Google search on how to make the flowers last longer that you're using. And a little professional tip that I've learned to use on all types of flowers is to spray Crowning Glory on your arrangement once you're finished. You just spray it on and it helps seal in the hydration on your flowers. It really, really does make a difference. I love it. And so I'll link that for you in case that you want to try that one. And so on to myth number three, and that is it's always cheaper to buy your flowers wholesale. While it's true that sometimes buying wholesale can save you some money, it's definitely not always the case with flowers, and especially for amateurs. Wholesale prices might seem cheaper up front, but when you factor in the shipping costs and the fact that you have to buy in certain quantities, so you may only need five roses of a certain kind, but you have to buy them in sets of 12. Many times it's quite a bit more expensive to buy them wholesale than at the local grocery store or a farmer's market. For example, I've seen wholesale prices of a certain type of garden rose to be $6 a stem, and the requirement was that you needed to buy a dozen at a time. I have found that exact same garden rose at Trader Joe's for $9.99 for 10 stems. So that's only a dollar a stem. Obviously, that is significantly cheaper than $6 a stem. It's a $5 difference. But when you're paying that higher price at a wholesaler, you're paying for the ability to get the exact flower that you want with the possibility of a higher quality or level of freshness. If you're purchasing at Trader Joe's, you can't guarantee what they will have available on any given day. However, I have found that the floral person at my Trader Joe's will take orders if you want something. They can't guarantee the color and that sort of thing, but if I really want pink garden roses and I let her know that, she will set them aside for me the day before or the day that I'm going to pick up. And so it's not guaranteed, but it is nice that they go to the effort to try to help you out. So it never hurts to ask. I realize not everyone has a Trader Joe's in their city, but other grocery stores or places like Sam's or Costco will often be a cheaper option than purchasing wholesale. And myth number four is arrangements need to be in a clear container, because that's what they usually arrive from your florist in, is a clear glass vase. This could not be farther from the truth, because using a unique or different type of vessel for your arrangement, it instantly adds interest and character to your arrangement. And the clear glass containers that florists use are cheap alternatives for professionals because they're inexpensive and florists are very experienced in arranging, so they don't need to cover up their mechanics as much as us amateurs do. They know how to arrange bouquets easily without chicken wire or tape grids. I personally prefer opaque vases because they make it easier to hide the mechanics of what's holding your arrangement together, like the chicken wire or floral foam. Some of my favorite things for a flower arrangement vessel are vintage milk glass, antique vegetable dish, or a soup tureen. They make a great conversation starter and they instantly just add charm to the arrangement. The last myth can really be a killer for your flowers. And number five is that you should refrigerate your flowers. So I get where this myth comes from. I mean, we see arrangements in the grocery store in refrigerated cases and at the florist. There's usually a display of flower arrangements in a refrigerated glass case. But what most of us don't realize is that these refrigerated cases are not like our refrigerator at home. The professional floral cases are set at a higher temperature than most of our regular refrigerators. So the low temperatures in our refrigerators are not optimal for most flowers, and that can cause the blooms to freeze or become damaged. also, ethylene gas can build up in your refrigerator if you have fruits and vegetables in the fridge, and that can speed up the aging process of flowers too, leading them to wilt and to brown. Also, your refrigerator at home is more likely to cause too much moisture for the flowers, which also accelerates decay. The professional ones are designed for the perfect moisture level to prolong the life of flowers. So if you can't put them in the refrigerator, what can you do? If you need to keep your flowers staying fresh before the big day of an event, the best thing to do is store them in a very dark, cool spot in your room. They will stay much fresher that way. I've heard some florists storing their flowers in a closet. That way, there was no sunlight and no warm drafts. You'll definitely have much better luck storing them in a cool, dark spot in your home than risking putting them in the refrigerator. So to recap, the five myths I've debunked today are: 1, beginners should start with floral foam. 2, flower food is all you need to make flowers last longer. 3, it's always cheaper to buy wholesale. 4, your arrangements should always be in glass containers. And 5, that you should put your flowers in the refrigerator. I hope getting these misconceptions cleared up will give you the confidence to make your own arrangements and enjoy the process, knowing that you won't be making these rookie mistakes. I am looking so forward to next week's episode. So until then, bye for now. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Happy Hostess Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate, and review it on your podcast app. It would mean the world to me. If you need links for anything mentioned during this episode, head over to happyhostesscollective.com and you'll find them in the show notes. A new episode comes out every Tuesday, and I can't wait for you to tune in next time. Until then, have a great week.